Hey guys,
I'm Hallie
and I'm Jamie
and this is Literal Nonsense.
Hey guys.
Hey.
I feel like that's like literally always the exact like cadence of our voice Okay, so big episode today, ladies and gentlemen. Big one.
Be prepared.
So I am a little nervous. Hallie's obviously not nervous. No. I'm a little nervous, but I want to preface this by saying I feel like people feel two very distinct ways about this book, and we are like aggressively on both of those sides. I'm sure you can guess which one's which. Oh, so if you have no idea what's going on, we're doing It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. So now you're caught up. I also will say, because I'm sure you guys can all guess the nature of this episode, it's going to be friendly. It's going to be done with love. Professional debate.
You're dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
But we love each other always. So yes. Even if we get a little aggressive.
We might get a little aggressive. But it's all with love.
We might. It is all with love. So I want you guys to know that. No feelings will be hurt.
Breaking news. Literal podcast. Literal nonsense podcast breaks up due to polarizing views of Colleen Hoover.
But I will say, I think it'll be interesting to see how much and how strongly we feel on both sides. And I'm actually really interested because I think usually when you bring up points, it helps me see like your side. So I'm excited to get there. Yeah, okay. So let's give a synopsis of this book for anyone who doesn't know what this is about. Okay, so like I mentioned, we are doing It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. I begged and pleaded for Hallie to do just one more Colleen Hoover.
Okay, after this, put my foot down. No more.
No, that's totally fine.
No more. For real.
I also just think it was needed. The movie just came out. Our other episode of Colleen Hoover did well. So, you know, I was like, let's please Hallie do it. And she agreed. So here we are. Okay. So this book, now if you read the back of the book, it very much so gives off love triangle vibes. So our girl, her name is Lily Bloom to be exact. And it's a dual timeline book. And so Lily had an abusive father. Now, the book in the present time starts off, her father just died. Her and her mom kind of have a little weird relationship because she kind of like not blamed her mom, but just never understood why her mom dealt with it, whatever. So then she moves to Boston. She's now currently in Boston. She meets this guy.
I think you forgot to mention that her dad was abusive.
No, I said he was abusive.
Oh.
And that's why she's mad at her mom.
Wow. Totally just blacked out there. Okay.
Okay, well, her dad's abusive.
Because I'm like this.
Okay. And so she meets this guy in the current time. She's on top of a roof just, like, looking out, thinking, and
she's sitting on the edge of the roof.
Yeah, but she's, like, literally just sitting on the edge. Like, she's not suicidal. She's just sitting there.
On the edge of glory.
And so he, like, kicks open the door, starts kicking a chair, and she's like, you good, bro? Whatever. So they talk. They have this whole thing. They're strangers. Naked truths, you know, they don't know each other, they can just be honest. Okay, so clearly this is the first love interest. Now, you go back in time, and she's like, what, 14 in high school? Or 15?
Like 15. She's 15.
There's a guy that goes to her school, and he's homeless, and he's, like, living in an abandoned house, like, right behind in back her. Of her house.
Yeah.
And so they become friends, now they also fall in love. He's homeless because basically his family life just sucks. It's not his fault. He's tried to, you know, get jobs, but he has no car. He can't, you know, get into the, like, foster homes. He's 18. All the shelters are full and they're, like, not safe. So, you know, awareness to homelessness. Okay, so they fall in love. Now, basically, long story short, what happens, he's in fucking Boston. So his name is Atlas. Atlas is the homeless boy.
Well, he moves Ryle to Boston.
Yeah. And, like, uncle.
And so they lose contact.
For years and years and years and years.
All right. Like 8 years.
That's a lot of time. And then she moves to Boston too. Now that's where she is current time. And Ryle is the guy kicking chairs around, being a fucking psycho.
He's all riled up.
Oh dear.
He's getting all riled up.
That's actually amazing. So, again, when I first started this book, because I had read some Colleen Hoover's before this one, I was like, ooh, love triangle, love to see it. This is not what this book is about. So that's just a little premise we're going to talk about, you know, as we normally do, go down the timeline. But that's what we're walking into. Again, it is not evident when you first start the book, if you know anything or nothing about it. You don't know where this book is going, I would say. Did you know because you heard about it? Or did you know, you know what I'm saying? Because you knew.
So what I knew of the book was that it was a book about domestic violence.
Okay, fair. So you knew that going in.
So I knew that, but I didn't know, like, I didn't know her dad was abusive. I figured the love interest would end up being abusive. I didn't know what inspired the book to be written. I just knew it was about domestic violence.
Okay. And so did that make it less, I would assume it made it less shocking for you, yes? Because you knew.
Yeah.
Because when I tell you, like, I went in thinking it was a love triangle, like light, fluffy love story. When I tell you I was fucking floored, like, I was like, oh, hello? Mm-hmm. I'm very confused.
Yeah, I guess I, like, missed out on, like the punch factor. Nah. Like, the punch factor of, like, oh, like.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, okay, of course.
Well, right. And again, if it's a book about domestic violence, you're assuming the partner, you know, like whether her father was abusive or not, you could guess the partner that she ends up with is going to be abusive. Okay. So that's why I was curious. Okay. So let's, I guess, start talking about her first interaction with Ryle.
On the roof?
Yeah. Okay. Like, who is this guy?
I thought the beginning was fine. I was like, okay. I was like, LOL. I was like, okay. Mad weird that she's on this random fucking roof. It's not even like her building's roof.
I mean, yeah, she's a little bit of a weird duck.
She's a weirdo for sure. But like,
yeah,
I mean, can you blame that on her past? Probably.
Probably. I would say yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this hot guy walks up onto the roof and he's like, obviously mad. To me personally, I would have dipped. I'd have been like, yeah, nah, sorry, not sticking around for this.
But like, how hot is hot? You know.
Okay, there needs to be a line drawn somewhere.
But okay, but also to be fair, like,
she's mad casual about it.
Well, yes, but kicking a chair around. Okay, so
yeah, but he's like huffing also, and puffing. He's like having a fucking break.
Do you feel like this was like his first red flag?
Yes.
Even before anything happened, not like looking back, like when you first initially read this, were you like red flag?
I was like, this guy's a weirdo.
Okay, fair. See, I didn't.
But like, people.
I was like, he's mad.
But that's also. Okay, so that's also a point you can make, right? Like, if I get really fucking upset, yeah, I'm fucking punching my pillow and, you know.
Oh, hell yeah. Shit.
Of course. I feel like that's normal. But like, within the context of the book, I'm like, okay, foreshadowing already. You know what I mean?
Right. And I guess that's where we're going to differentiate in this because I didn't know, again, that this was a fucking book about domestic violence.
I mean, this guy's beating up a plastic chair. I'm like, okay.
I'm like, what happened to your day, dude? Yeah. Okay. So we find out when he's on the roof that he's a neurosurgeon. Great, you know.
I will have things to say about all of that, but yes.
So again, I just, because I'm going into this thinking it's just a romance, whatever, cliche, sappy, whatever, fine. I'm like, but I'm into the vibe. Like, you know, a little random meetup. He's a neurosurgeon. They're like, they flirt a little. He's like, I would totally have sex with you. And they don't exchange numbers, nothing. They kind of just, he takes a picture of her, which I thought that was a little weird.
No, their whole interaction was weird from the get. Okay.
Once
they get acquainted and he realizes she's there. Okay. The whole naked truth thing, that was fine. I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, like, this is a stranger, who fucking cares. Right.
Tell, you can be honest.
Yeah. But then he's just like, oh, like, you're hot. Do you want to have sex? And she was like, oh, I'm not into one night stands. And he's like, oh, so sad. And then like leaves. I'm like, random.
Random, but also, like, if they're both single and he's into one-night stands, like, I feel like weirder things have happened.
I know, but I just felt like not like blindsided, but I was like, oh, okay. Like getting right into it. You know what I mean?
I almost respect the honesty. You know, there's no bullshitting. It's like, you're hot. Like, you want to have sex? Like, what are we doing here?
I don't know, but I feel like this is supposed to be like realistic fiction. Like, do people really act like that? I don't know.
Sometimes.
I guess if you're fucking deranged. That's
men,
mean.
Men are deranged.
Maybe, okay, now my biases are kicking in. Let me not. Let me stop.
Like, you know, men are a treat all around.
This is true. Men really do have the audacity.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't feel like that was like, whoa, this is out there. Like, I was like,
to me, that set the tone. I was like, okay, this is where we're going with this book.
And yes, it did set the tone in the sense he also, as you mentioned, was like, oh, are you into one night stands? And he very much so was like, I don't want marriage. I'm career oriented. I just fuck people, whatever.
Which yes, is fine, but like, I don't know.
But he is setting a tone.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this interaction they have, she also tells him that she really loves like gardening, flowers, things like that. And she's like, I would love to open my own business. And he's like, just fucking do it. Who cares? Whatever, right? So fine, but she does mention that. So now we flash, I don't know,
it's like 6 months ahead. Months or something.
Yeah. And she quits her job and she opens her own floral place. Mm-hmm. Which, fine, good for her. That's lovely.
Cool. I like her like anti-establishment kind of view on it. Like, oh, it's not okay, like so, a, you know, like your typical florist. She's like, I want to make it look fucking deranged. And I was like, all right, respect.
Yeah. So she's opening this place. It's like an abandoned storefront type of deal. And there's a help wanted sign on the front door. And so this woman comes in, looks very well put together, has money. And she's like, hey, like, do you need help? And she's like, well, yes, but I really can't like pay a lot. And she's like, no, I'll work for free. And we're like, who the fuck is this girl? Whatever. So her name is Alyssa.
Again, unrealistic, but okay.
Okay, well, we'll get there. Do you like Alyssa as a character?
I'm always sus of like people who are like way too nice in the beginning. Not that I thought she was going to turn out to be a bad person, but like for me personally, in real life and in books, when the people are like, oh my God, I'm like, yeah, you're not for me.
I don't know how we became friends.
But you weren't like that in the beginning.
Just
like,
now?
you're like high energy and like, me, but it's not like, oh my God, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. To me,
I'm glad to hear that you feel that way.
About certain things you get like that. And mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, all right, stop. Enough.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Also because like, I guess because I've just known you for a long time. So it's like, mm-hmm. We know each other's like boundaries in that kind of regard. And
like our conversation today.
Yeah. And we know like not to take it like personally. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, fair. So this girl walks in and like, I liked her. I thought she was fun.
Yeah, she was fine.
She's like just, she's helping Lily out, whatever. Now Lily's doing something and she falls off a crate. I don't fucking know. She's a spaz. She twists her ankle. So the girl Alyssa's calling her husband. What the fuck's his name?
Marshall. Can I think of?
Oh, Marshall. Okay, thank you. Calls her husband Marshall. Come here. Bring my brother. Blah, blah, blah. My boss fell. And he's like, your boss? You don't got a job? Whatever. So I like Alyssa and her husband Marshall. I think they're great.
I like their relationship.
Yes. And so, of course, again, unrealistic, yes. But again, thinking this is just a romance book, of course, the brother that walks in is Ryle. And you're like, oh, of course it is.
Yeah. I mean, I liked how they pretended, like, not to know each other.
Well, except for that one interaction when she walked in. What did he was like, Alyssa leaves to get, like, ice with Marshall.
Yeah, he asks if she wants to have sex again. And she's like, did you just proposition my boss to have sex or
something? Yes, because Alyssa walked in on it and she was like, huh? And she was like, ignore my brother, he's so fucked up.
This guy's just like a horny bastard.
But I think he was just saying, he was like, oh, I would still have sex with you. Like, whatever. And then she walked on that, but it just seemed so crazy.
Bizarre. It's just so bizarre. I don't know.
He's attracted to her. She seems like she's, like, they're both written as very attractive.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, some aggression is nice, but, like, when you're just too much, it's like, all right, like, now you're annoying. Like, I mean, we get it. You want to have sex with her.
Mm-hmm. And so, whatever. They pretend, like, this is still their first interaction. Now, her ankle's, like, sprained, twisted, whatever.
Oh, how Alyssa ironic. He's a doctor.
I mean, he's a neurosurgeon, so I don't really know how much.
He has to go through 4 years of med school.
But I'm always about, like, a meet cute doctor situation.
Okay. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. The whole doctor fantasy thing, okay, I can understand it. But I feel like it was a little too much in this book. But that's just me. I don't know. Me, I'm like, these fantasy role things, whatever, I like them a little bit more subtle, you know? Not okay, when they're just, like, blatantly, like, oh, his scrubs. He showed up in his scrubs. Like, oh, I can't contain myself in his scrubs. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Okay, I get it. I get it.
But, like I said, I think...
It's very immature to me.
Okay.
To me.
Yes. I can see what you're saying. I will preface, though, that I think, in my opinion, before we even continue on, she did a very good job of making this, like, all the, like, cliche, niche, sappy romance things, and then is like, whoosh, and makes it, like, a serious topic. Like, the overdoing the doctor thing. Obviously, the sister is her employee. Like, I thought I would, again, at this point, Jane reading the book, thinks that I'm reading a fucking romance bullshit book.
Okay, agree, but I don't think that is an excuse
for... To keep doing it?
Loving the book.
Okay, well, we'll get there too. Okay, so what happens next? Oh, he, like, stalks her.
Yeah, and
you hate this.
I do, and he's just, like, so persistent, and, like, the girl's just trying to have fucking dinner with her mom, and he's like, oh, I'm coming. Like,
well, no, remember he goes to her building?
Oh, yeah.
He's knocking on...
Oh, yeah, he's like, I knocked on 100 doors to get to you. Okay, a little swoon there, but, like, also, now you're kind of giving me weird vibes.
Well, then he dove like, onto his knees.
You could have just fucking asked your sister where she lived. Yeah, and then he's on his knees, literally begging her. Begging her. And I was like, major ick. Major ick.
Yeah.
Play it cool, bro. Play it cool.
Yeah, no, he didn't play
She knows. Cool. She knows what you want. Like.
Yeah, I know. He wants sex. And so.
Which is also, it's just so funny because, like, she says in the book, like, he's like, oh, I haven't been able to stop thinking about you. I can't stop thinking about you. Like, da 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 da. Okay. Say that in a time and place. Not every fucking page that I turn, you know, it's always brought back to that point before they even start getting back to like getting together.
Right. Right. Well, and so obviously they get together. Right. And he's trying and they're doing it like secretly. Like he would like go to the grand opening of the floral shop and like sent flowers to the shop and like wrote like,
yeah,
make it stop. Like, you know, I need to stop thinking about you, whatever. The head of this comes when she goes to Alyssa's birthday party. And they get into an argument, yada, yada. And she's like, leave me the fuck alone. You keep flirting with me and doing all these things. But, like, I don't want to just have sex. So either, like, you commit to, like, trying something or, like, get away from me.
Which is fine. Like, I was, like, good.
Yes. And she's like, it's hurting me. Like, I like you as well. But, like, I don't want just that. And then he, you know, rushes to the room, grabs her, yada, yada. Which I swoon worthy to me.
I mean, like, if you're drunk at a party, like, that could be fun for sure.
And also, like, then they go to his room and he's like, you know, what do I need to do to prove it? And she's like, let's not have sex. And they just, like, sleep together, which I thought, like, sleep physically together in the bed.
Yeah.
Which I also thought was fine. They I was just like, fall good. Asleep. He's, yeah. And then, okay,
fine.
The next morning she wakes up and Alyssa's like, so what the fuck? And then she finally tells Alyssa, I've known your brother, like, since before we met, didn't know you were his sister, all this stuff. Now I'm going to preface this by saying, especially as we keep going into now the meat of the book, because this is really all just bullshit we're glossing over because it's like the beginning, really.
Yeah.
I also, which you might make fun of me, whatever, don't care. I also feel this book really hard because of the nature of my relationship with Amelia and Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
So Amelia, for anyone who doesn't know who Amelia is. Feel weird introducing her.
And our next host, Amelia.
Right.
Come on down.
So Amelia's my best friend since I was 14 years old.
Amelia's and my best friend, and I stalked her until she liked me.
Well, yes, and then I married her brother.
So actually, Jamie lives in a Colleen Hoover book.
Right, yeah. So I never met her brother, and then I met him, and now we're married. Point of that reasoning I'm saying this is because as things escalate in this book, imagining like kind of also losing her in a sense, like that affected me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, because they became like Alyssa and Lily become best friends, whatever. Different order of how they met and such. But, like, she really is close with Alyssa and, like, loves Alyssa sans Ryle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I think maybe that's also why this book affects me, because, like, seeing them all hang out, like, the little quad they have, their little group, like, I was very much able to put myself in that position.
Okay.
So that's number one reason. So just wanted to let you know, whatever, okay. So now they go to dinner. It's a place called Bibbs. It's going to be relevant, mm-hmm. promise. Mm-hmm. And they're ordering food with Lily's mom. The mom's me and Ryle. Big steps, you know. And
after a couple months, if that.
Which is fine. A couple weeks. It's fine. That's okay.
She's like, oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah, but you know what? They live in the same city. I mean, like, really, whatever. It is what it is. Well, they aren't even officially dating because she didn't know how to introduce him. She's like, is this my boyfriend? I don't know.
Yeah, but she's obviously head over heels.
Correct. So I wouldn't mind.
Which is something that we will circle back to because I have a hang up with that. But
okay. But if you're head over heels for this guy and he wants to meet your mom, you're going to be, like, jazzed. You know?
Yeah, whatever. Keep it pushing. So who did they meet at the restaurant?
Atlas is the waiter in this scene.
Yeah.
And she's like, what the fuck? Atlas.
Yeah, which is understandable. You know, like, she was fucking, like, starstruck. She didn't know how to act. She hadn't seen him in forever. They were very close at one point. Broke her heart when he left. Yada, yada, yada. The whole thing. Okay, totally understandable.
Lost virginity to him. I mean, you know.
These are big.
Shocking.
These are pivotal moments for, you know, that time. And, like, it's obvious she never really processed, like, all of that. You know.
Correct. And I would argue if you're just not expecting to see someone that you used to be in love with.
Blindsided.
She is not completely over him, but if she was even, I would argue you're still like, ugh.
Well, yeah. Well, even at that point, even say she is over him, you know.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
The feelings of, like, being back in that time and place are just going to come up naturally.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
You know.
So she plays it off. But then she's like, I never want to go back there ever again. Whatever.
Well, yeah. Because, you know, that was a hard part of her life. Like, one of the best parts of her life and the hardest part of her life, right?
Correct.
Mind you, she's 24. Okay? Let's just preface that. She's also 24 years old.
Okay, here's my hang up with you sometimes. You act like 24 is so, like, young.
It is young.
Like, it is. But, like, I could see us having these emotions at our age. Like, why don't you? Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not discrediting her emotions, but it's just like this, and I wrote this in my review, and this is my problem with every fucking Colleen Hoover book. All the main characters, the female main characters who the book's about, they're all like 20 to 25, right?
Okay.
So for the most part, you're still in college, or you're just starting to get your life together, you're just getting a job, like, whatever. To me, personally, there's still a very big level of immaturity there because you're not, like, in the world. To me. Like, some people are the exception. I'm just generalizing here.
No, for sure. And I don't disagree with you, but, per se.
But she writes them all as stupid, dumb bitches. Okay? So that's the taste that I have in my mouth from the beginning of every one of her books.
But and I would then, argue, at that age, most people are stupid, dumb bitches.
Yes, which is fine. But then something traumatic happens, or they go through, you know, this life-altering event, like, whatever. And then all of a sudden, they're like fucking Sophocles. Like, now they're like, you know, the age 75-year-old woman who has all this life experience. And they're like, oh my God, and I will never do that again. And blah, blah, blah. All right. Like, I it's too polarizing for me.
I understand. But, like, I also argue, like, certain things would do that to you.
That quick? I don't know. There needs to be a level of, like, rest, reflection, you know. Fair. And for many, many, many people, they never learn the lesson.
Fair. But that could also just be, you know, it is fiction. You would hope that people do learn their lesson. It could just be a general, it could be streamlined for sure, that maybe is not as realistic as real life, but it could just be, like, a nice overall message.
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. It's too polarizing for me. I just don't like it.
Yeah. You know? Okay. Well,
like, if a woman is traumatized at a young age and, you know, she's wise beyond her years because of the trauma as a result, like, make that consistent through the book.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
You know?
I get what you're saying. But also, like, maturing and stuff isn't linear either, I would argue, and healing and yada yada. Okay. You know, like.
And you also can't have that within a 300-page book. So for me, that's where my problem is like there's holes, you know, like I can't see the progression. It doesn't have to be linear.
I just feel like it's streamlined. It's just it. I think it follows a general path. I just think like I don't want. OK, to be fair, also, I don't want to read this for 700 pages for it to like make sense timeline wise.
No, but for sure.
100%.
But this book takes place within a year, basically, if that.
Mm, yeah.
You know, are you really making all this transformative growth in 12 months?
I mean, you know, but maybe that's also like hopeful for some people, like that you could, like, if you make effort, change it. Or I don't know. I have no idea. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but then that's when it gets too like, you know what I mean?
Well, and
then
of course, because it's still a romance inherently. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But that's my hang up. Like, that's why I don't enjoy like these romance books is because to me, it's just it's fluff. Yeah. Like, give me some more nitty gritty.
Like, and I think from what I hear you saying is also like it's fluff trying to have serious conversations, but like you're not giving the serious conversations the due diligence because it's still a fluffy book.
Yes.
Okay. That's a fine, valid stance.
But that's me. You know, that's just that's my hang up. I mean, I understand why people like these books.
Mm-hmm.
Like why people like romance books. Like I understand that point, but for me personally, I can't apply that to myself.
And I'm not even saying this to the people that like it, because I like this book a lot. We'll talk about that toward the end of the episode. But I also would argue, in general, some people maybe, like, you're a very deep analytical thinker who can handle, like, a tougher book and, like, real, like, the truth of things. Some people may need these serious topics talked about in a fluffy manner to, like, actually grasp them.
Okay. Or, like, a first introduction to...
Correct.
Okay.
So, you know, I get that, like, same thing with kind of, like, me not liking normal people. I get what she was doing. It just, like, wasn't, like, my cup of tea.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the same thing. Like, you just would prefer a more analytical, honest, blunt version of these situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, okay, let's go into the situations, I guess. Okay. And so, they're dating officially now. She hasn't seen Atlas anymore. All is well. All is good. Now, they're getting, like, drunk one night, having some wine. They're going to make a little casserole.
But this is also, that statement also is not valid because she's reading through her old journals.
Okay, she is. She's reading through her old journals where she's, like, writing about Atlas. That's how you are finding out about what was going on with them in the dual timeline.
I liked the aspect of, like, learning about the past through the journal entries. That was okay, fine. Yeah. I just thought the whole Ellen DeGeneres thing was corny.
Yeah, she's writing to Ellen DeGeneres, guys. Which, I agree. I don't like it. I'd rather her have just had a diary.
Yeah, like a diary would have been fine, you know? And like, okay, yes. So she likes, you know, from Dory, just keep swimming. Like, that's fine. She could have, that, just including that would have been fine too. But like, correct, the whole like, dear Ellen, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was to Oprah, I would have liked it more. I don't know. To me, Ellen DeGeneres.
I also just think it was one of those things. Maybe she took like creative liberties and like tried to do something fun and cutesy. It didn't hit home for me either.
Yeah.
I agree. I do agree. I liked the journal stance though. Okay. Like, I almost tried to ignore that it was to Ellen. Like, I feel like I just read them as journals and that was fine for me.
Yeah. Okay. Also, we're going to have to go into like who we like more as a love interest for sure.
Yeah. I have a feeling we differ. anyways. So fine. She's not seeing Atlas, but she's very much so reminiscing. And you know what? I think that's fair. I think that if she had seen him, whatever, her dad also just died. So that was like the time period when he was really like being a piece of shit to her mom.
Well, she doesn't start reading the journals until after she sees him at the restaurant, right?
No, she starts before that. It's after her dad dies.
Okay.
And I think she was just kind of like reflecting on that.
Okay.
And so, fine. So she's not interacting with him, but very much so reminiscing. But I would argue that's fine. Maybe it's kind of her coping with seeing him / her dad dying, you know, a bunch of things.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I was her, I wouldn't want to go back to that restaurant either.
Correct. And so her and Ryle are making a casserole, whatever. They're getting wine drunk. They both have off the next day. Things are good. The business is going well. He's doing great in, you know, his residency, whatever.
This is the first instance.
Yes. So we have a first instance. And so she's drunk and, like, burns the casserole. And he's like, oh, Lily, like, it's smoking, whatever. And he goes to reach and grab the casserole, grabs it with his hands, and, like, burns himself, obviously. Drops the casserole.
His hands from God.
Right. And she laughs because she's like, dummy, like, you should have used the pot holder.
I would have laughed as well.
He does reference prior to this. He's a big surgery Monday, which I feel like that was fine. Like, that was a fine way to kind of make it, like, evident, like, how serious it was that he burned his hands, you know? Realistically, if I wouldn't be thrilled if I hurt myself when someone laughed. Like, you know, being mad is one thing, which we're going to talk a lot about this. So she's, like, laughing, and he's, like, pissed, and he pushes her.
Yeah. And she – what happened? She falls?
She slips and hits her head on, like, the corner of the cabinet and, like, cuts her eye. And then she's pissed, and she kind of, like, not pushes him, but she, I guess kind of, like, gets, like, get away from me kind of thing. And then he, like, falls back and puts his hand in the glass, and now – his hands are bleeding and burnt. It's like a whole fucking shit show, basically.
And she's, like, triggered. She was like, oh, like, if anyone ever laid a hand on me, like, I'd leave immediately. I'm not my mother. Like,
right. And so I think those were all very valid points. And I think he literally was like, oh, my God, like, I just got pissed and, like, didn't know what to do. Now, pushing someone's never okay. Mm-hmm. But I think as we go on, I want to say that I think she did a really good job of, like, making the instances get more severe as they went on.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this instance, I think you could, as a reader, be like, oh, like, he didn't mean to hurt her. He just was like, get away.
But then I
also, not okay.
Okay, but, like, as the instances get worse, you mm-hmm. know, and then it's written off in the end that he has a problem.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
To me, that's also inconsistent, because it would have been that way from the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, why is it now just the longer time they spent together? It's... But then also you can counter, like, you know, as time goes on, people get more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The true colors show, which, okay, I understand. But then it's just inconsistent, because you're going to tell me, like, him living mm-hmm. with his sister, like, she never pissed him off.
Right, right.
But we'll go into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then she gets, like, they have a very serious talk, you know, never do this. He knows about her dad. He was, like, profusely apologizes, and they're fine. They are, you know, not fine, but yeah. She was like, you do that ever again, like, I'm done. Like, I'm out, you know? And so Alyssa really wants to go back to this restaurant. We also find out the reason Alyssa started working for Lily is because she was having problems getting pregnant for, like, a long time, and she just wanted to get out of the house and not be sad. She gets pregnant. They're, like, celebrating. I think that's what the dinner is for. And she's like, I want to try this place so bad. Like, let's go here. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So now they go to this dinner, and it's directly after this instance happened. So Lily has a bandage on her eye, and Ryle has bandages on his hand. So that's not looking great.
No.
And also, it's very Colleen Hoover is very distinct in pointing out that Ryle lies to Alyssa and says, like, oh, Lily slipped or something. And Lily's like, he lied. Like, why not just, you know, if it wasn't a big deal, you shouldn't be lying about it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also when you know, like, she's kind of also like, damn, like, it was serious enough for him, like, to, like, save face. So, yeah. And now we have all kinds of funsies happen at this restaurant.
Yeah, whatever. So they're there. Okay, we find out that Atlas is actually the owner of the fucking restaurant. Of course he is. And then, I don't know, Ryle leaves to go to the bathroom. And then, like, Lily goes to leave to the bathroom. And then Atlas follows her into the bathroom.
Well, because he saw them with the bandages.
Yeah, and he was like, Lily, what are you doing? Like, you need to get out. Like, you can't be with him. And she's like, oh, it's not what you think. Blah, blah, blah. And then, like, Ryle comes into the bathroom. He's like, what are you doing with my girlfriend? And then it's just,
which,
like,
that's fucked up. I wouldn't love to see that either.
No, and then, you know, they fight. And Atlas, like, he walks away, right, or something. And, like, Lily's trying to calm him down. And he was like, oh, like, this is the guy, like, from, like, oh, like, your pity fuck or something like that. And I was like, that was rough. Whatever. So
yeah,
then,
I think he said, like, this is the homeless guy you pity fuck. Yeah. I was like, oof.
That was crazy. So then, yeah, so obviously the mood is soured, and Lily's like, oh, we gotta go. Like, I don't feel well. So they end up leaving, and Melissa's like, no, don't go. Like, what?
Well, she's also confused, to be fair, because she's like, why are you fist fighting the chef of this restaurant?
Oh my god. Yeah, but so then they leave, right?
Yeah.
And then Ryle is like upset, and he's like, they storm off to the car, and they have like a little spat, right?
Yeah, just a little spat. But then what happens the next day is Atlas comes to the floral shop and gives Lily his phone number and is like, if you ever need me, like put it in the back of your phone, whatever. Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, okay, cool.
Fine, I guess.
Yeah, and then Alyssa is obviously there and like Lily's like, oh, like, don't tell Ryle. And she's like, I'm not an idiot. Like,
yeah, and she's also not cool about it, but she's also like, fine.
But I'm also like, I don't know, this is just getting weird now. I'm like, now it is getting weird, too much.
For
like,
sure.
Now everything's getting all convoluted. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, now it's too much drama.
A lot of drama. And so long.
It's worse.
Yeah. Story goes on. I don't know kind of what order it happens. I forget. But they get married. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah. Whatever. Doesn't his parents visit from like the UK or something?
Yeah, they meet her. So things are going well. Things are fine.
Yeah, they fly to Vegas. They elope.
Yeah.
They move in together.
Yes. And now I think this happens actually before they get married. Unsure. Or maybe right after. I'm not really sure. But
it's right after, I think.
They're going somewhere and he drops her phone. And the case pops off, finds the number, calls it's Atlas.
Yeah, it's
big, big bad.
It's right after they get married.
Yeah,
and
big bad.
And he's like, my cheating, lying, whore wife. And I'm like, holy shit.
Which, okay, that's not okay. Of course, it's not okay. But like,
I feel like that's like, honestly.
Finding that shit right after you get married, it's like, that is a shitty.
I feel like that's like a given reaction.
Yes. Like, you shouldn't say hurtful words to your partner either.
Of course.
Unless, you know, but like, it's like,
I could see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see it. And so he's running away and she follows him on the stairwell.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Same thing. Fucking pushes her, flies down the stairs. And it's like, god damn, dude. But same kind of thing. Like, he was trying to walk away and he was more of like, Lily, get away from me. And like, whatever. And then she fell on the stairs.
Yeah.
Now, same thing. Profusely apologizing. She's crying. Oh, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. She's again, same kind of thing. It's like, is it an accident? Is it not? Right? You're like very on the fence.
Yeah. She kicks him out of the house. He ends up sleeping in the hallway.
Yeah, it's like a big deal. Okay, so now here's the thing. Oh, man. Like, okay.
And she's I forgot that I had left that in there.
She did say that.
She tells him, you know.
She does. She does tell him this.
Which is also inconsistent towards the end of the book. We will get to that.
Well, yes. But she wouldn't say the truth to him. Anyways, but we'll get there. So, okay. As a reader at this point, right,
I'm like, leave
I want to say my... I want to say my stance here. Again, being a romance reader, I enjoy romance books. I was very upset. Like, I really liked Ryle from the start. I think that she wrote him as, like, a very much so desirable book boyfriend. Doting after her. Just, like, all the things that, like, you would objectively want when you're a romance reader.
Mm-hmm.
And so... when this starts happening, again, didn't know about domestic violence, I'm, like, devastated. And I'm like, is it accidents? Like, I'm sitting here, again, because when I read, and I argue most people do, you put yourself in the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's relatable, you can see yourself in the situation, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really fucking sitting here reading this goddamn book, and I'm like, he didn't mean to do it. I'd forgive him too. I swear to God. And that puts you in a dark fucking headspace, I will let you know. Like, that's fucked. Because then, same thing. You know, you're thinking, oh, like, if a person you love and there's all these good times and it's like you frustrated them and they just, like, want you to get away, like, was it an accident? Was it not? You can write off these things. They were very ambiguous situations.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that puts you in, like, a weird mental state.
Okay, yeah.
So that's where I'm at this point in the book, right?
Okay.
Like, I'm very much so, like, I'd be staying too.
Honestly, yeah, I would have felt the same way. And I did feel the same way. I was like, yeah, that can totally be written off. She's totally going to stay with him.
Right.
But I was like, okay, obviously we're going to hit the one thing.
Yes.
And that's going to blow up.
But like how much I didn't want to hit that one thing, you know? Like I was like, no. So then big revelation. That after this happens, he finally comes clean to Alyssa, and he's like, I've been doing this to Lily, yada, yada. Alyssa's like, tell her the truth. So we find out this whole deep, dark past about Ryle and Alyssa.
Yeah, so when the first night they met, Ryle was like, oh, like, how did he frame it? He was saying the story, he was like, oh, like, this little boy, like, shot his brother in the fucking head when they were little, because they were in the garage and just playing around and was playing with a loaded gun. Like, what does that say about the parents? What does it say about the kid? Like, yada, yada, yada. And, like, that's one of, like, the first things he says to Lily when they first
And that's meet. Why he's kicking the chair, because he's upset.
Yeah. Come to find out, he was the child who shot his brother in the head with the loaded gun.
Yes. So he has, like, anger issues.
And you're like, fuck. So now me, I'm like, obviously, Ryle is the villain. So I'm like, okay, obviously, at this point, I'm thinking Ryle is fucked up in the head. And, you know, him and his brother probably playing around, and his brother did something he didn't like and, like, actually fucking shot him.
I don't think I thought that. I think
– I thought that. And I told you that.
Yes. I think they're, like – I think she's trying to explain away, like, his anger issues, which we will talk about, like – her giving him an quote-unquote excuse.
Okay, but if – okay, so now this is where I get confused. Like, if he has a violent past, and it's obvious that him and Alyssa are close. Like, they're close siblings, right? And now Alyssa's best friends with Lily. You know, why wouldn't she push Ryle to tell her this sooner? Or why wouldn't Alyssa say it herself sooner?
I think maybe also, like, because I mean, I don't have siblings, so I can't really – whatever – I mean, they're close, but I would argue that, like, she probably knows he's in therapy for these kinds of anger issue outburst type things. I would almost argue that maybe she thought, like, he was better and, like, didn't know until, like, he was like, Alyssa, like, I need help because, like, I'm doing this to Lily. Like, and that's when they also in the back of the book, there's, like, statistics and stuff. Oftentimes, even people with, like, domestic abuse and violence situations, sometimes they only abuse their partners. It's never anyone else. So, like, not his sister, not whatever. So, you know, maybe also he was fine until having that, like, intimate relationship with someone.
Okay.
Like, had anger issues, like, throwing chairs and shit, but, like, never hurt someone else, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? So Lily learns this, and they have a pact. Like, you know, when we argue, let me walk away. I'll come back, and we will chat. So they even referenced they had a fight. He did that. It was fine. And she was like, yes, like, we're going to make it, you know? So I was like, ooh, you're not. But it's nice. That obviously I almost wish she didn't even write that. Like, which it makes sense because sometimes, you know, people do try and then it doesn't matter in the end anyways.
I know. I mean, like, at this point, you know the book's going downhill. You know, I was just waiting for the next thing.
Yeah. And so big evening. All in one night. Alyssa goes into labor. Lily gets voted, like, best small business, new business in Boston. And Ryle finds out he's going to England for, like, med school, but, like, I don't know.
Residency program.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so big news. So they rush to the hospital, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Alyssa has the baby.
It's all very happy. Yay!
All very happy. Yay. Ryle now wants babies with Lily. It's, like, a wonderful time. Again, also, when I read this, I'm like, damn, like, because I could imagine me and Amelia, like, oh, like, you know, our kids are nieces and nephews of us, whatever. Okay. You know, it's a nice moment.
I am suspect of this whole next scene.
Yeah. So because Lily was in this, like.
Like, how it was set up, I'm like, it's not clicking, Steven. You know what I mean?
Okay. So Lily stays at the hospital. Ryle goes home and he's like, ooh, let's try to have a baby tonight. Wink, wink, you know, like, let's have sex. Great. So in the newspaper, because, like, it's new small businesses in Boston, Atlas's restaurant was also in, like, the running.
And he, like, mentions, like, in the paper, like, the interviewer was like, oh, like, why did you call it Bibbs? And he was like, oh, like, someone who's really important to me, like, oh, he said it was better in Boston. And that's what Bibbs stands for.
And then, like, she has a magnet on her fridge that Atlas gave her that says better in Boston. So Ryle's connecting all this, okay. Obviously.
Yeah. Okay.
So she comes home. She comes home. And he's, like, in the fucking dark, like a psycho.
Obviously, he's been drinking. And he, like, throws the magnet. No, he's like, where'd you get this magnet from?
And she's like, mind you, he's, like, fingering her. I'm really confused at this part.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Same. Because, okay. I'll tell you what my initial thoughts were going into this whole scene.
Okay, so say the scene and then say your thought per, like, in, because it just gets crazy.
You want me to do, like, a side-by-side, or do you want me to summarize and then summarize?
No, do side-by-side.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning then. Okay, so they go to the hospital, Alyssa has the baby, yada, yada, yada. Lily and Ryle are also there. Everyone's so happy. Ryle's like, let's go make a baby. And he's like, do you want to come home? She's like, no, I spent a little bit more time with the baby, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, cool. Everyone's happy, chilling, which if you have any intuition, you're like, yep, shit's going to hit the fan. For me, there was an inconsistency when she gets home and she sees him sitting in the dark drinking whiskey and, like, looks sober. So to me, I was like, okay. I personally just didn't understand the time frame of how this all happened because, you know, okay, so he's sitting in the dark and he's like, oh, where'd you get this wine from? And she's like, not answering him, which, as you know, okay, red flag right there. As Ryle, I'd be like, well, why aren't you fucking answering, you know? And then...
which he kind of is.
Yeah. So then, like, they're in the kitchen and, like, yeah, she's, like, on the counter and he's, like, pulling her pants down. He's like, where'd you get the magnet, Lily? And then she's like, what is... I don't even know what she says. And then, you know, and then he's, like, getting, like, very forceful and he's, like, naked truth. Tell me where you got the magnet. And, like, he's being, like, more, you know, like, aggressive and she's, like, stop it.
And like, she's, like, and he's going back and forth between, like, that and sexy and she's excited to have sex. Then she's, like, I feel like something's wrong.
Yeah, like, so she's, like, confused. Okay. Me, personally, I would have been, like, vibes are off right away.
Yeah,
this is not sexy. This is a no. Correct. This is a no good time about to happen right here.
And as the reader... the second you walk in and he's in the dark, its vibes are off.
Yeah. I would have turned around and left.
I think, like, that she, again, like, as his wife, is, like, just not – almost in denial, you know?
And then that's where I'm like, are you good, sister? Like, are you cognizant of, like, your past, present, and future? Like
– fair.
I don't know. Like, like you said, are you in denial? Which maybe right. Possibly is. Probably is. So whatever. And then, you know – then he grabs a newspaper and he, like, throws it at her or some shit like that. And he was like, oh, like, you should read, like, what's going on at Bibbs or something like that. And, like, she's crying. Like, I don't know. She starts crying. He's crying.
Well, she hadn't read it either. Which part of me was like, damn, dude, to put that in the paper. Alice was also a fucking crazy choice that you made.
Yeah, like, that was bold.
Bold. Bold as fuck. Don't appreciate. Yeah. Anyways.
As if, like, your column isn't right next to her column and, like, they're going to read it.
Right. I mean, dickhead move on Atlas's part, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, he was just saying his truth.
I guess. But also, I could see from Ryle's stance, not going to excuse what we discuss he does in the next 2 seconds, but I could see him. It seems like they're having an affair. I mean.
Yeah, for sure. Understandable. And then basically she finds out, like, she looks in, like, the room or the living room and, like, her fucking box of, like, Lily's things are, like, strewn all over the place. And, like, he read through all her journals.
Yikes.
If I was Lily at that point, I would have jumped out the window.
I would be like, fuck.
Like, you're screwed. Like, no screwed. Way. No screwed. Way is this going to end up fine.
No. Screwed.
And you're it so doesn't.
Fucked. No.
And so, like, she's like, Ryle, like, you're upset. Like, walk away. Walk away. And he's just, like, you know, still coming on her. Still coming on her. And she's, like, screaming. She's crying. And what does he do? I don't even remember what he does.
Oh, well, we didn't mention. So Atlas used to always kiss her collarbone.
Oh, yeah.
So in college, she
this is also so bad.
In college, she got, like, a little tattoo where he used to kiss her, which, again, objectively a fucking crazy thing to do.
Yeah, of, like, an open heart.
Yeah, and so...
and so, like, Ryle's, like, kissing her neck, right? And then he, like, chomps down on her fucking collarbone.
I was like, no.
I was like, oh my god, he's a fucking cannibal on top of it.
That's a fucked scene. But, like, also, like, okay. Anyways, yeah, it's fucked. So now he's trying to rape her.
Yeah.
She's struggling. He headbutts her. I mean.
Yeah, not good. Very, like.
She passes out because he fucking headbutted her.
Yeah, and then she, like, wakes up. She's, like, all disoriented.
Covered in blood.
And he's, like all snuggled up to her on the bed. He's like, I'm so sorry. Like,
and she's scared for her fucking life.
Yeah, and he was
so like, she's like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah, she's like, go to bed. Like, it's okay. I'm okay. Like, whatever. And this fucking psychopath falls asleep. And then, like, she, like, slowly disengages and, like, grabs her phone and, like, dips. And guess who she fucking calls?
Atlas.
Now.
Now.
This is my first hang up. You know, she tells Ryle that she put it in her, like, he put it in the back of her phone and she forgot about it. She never looked at it. She forgot about it, which would have been fine because honestly, like, same.
Mm-hmm.
But then this bitch says, you know, as she's typing the number, that when he put it in her phone, she sat and memorized it for like a certain, that takes time. That takes time. I'm saying at least 5 to 10 minutes. That's a big chunk of time to be memorizing something.
Yeah.
Because you know you're going to need it in the future.
Right.
First, now that's,
well, inconsistency, yes. Again, she wouldn't tell Ryle that. Now, here's my hang up with that. Could you write that off as you were scared of your husband? Sure, fine, because that's how she says it. Oh, I feared I needed to use this in the future. I argue that Lily's kind of a fucking bitch too, and that you weren't over Atlas. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to be very clear when I'm saying this to all of you.
I have such a good point.
His actions are not excused. Lily, even in the future when they have an altercation, she says, I could have been fucking Atlas in this bed, and that would not have excused you for what you did to me, which is very valid.
Yeah, of course.
But I will argue, again, I want to be very clear. No matter what happened, does not excuse Ryle being physically abusive with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But I argue that he was right. Lily was being a fucking, I argue, unfaithful.
Yeah. Emotional cheating is a real thing.
Yes. So again, don't condone what he did because of it, but like, he wasn't wrong.
No.
He wasn't wrong in the sense of,
he wasn't wrong to be upset.
Yes. And he wasn't wrong in his like weird gut feeling like she's not letting this shit go.
But his action was not wrong. Is wrong. Yeah.
Correct.
So, okay. I just can't wait to make this point. So, whatever. Atlas comes and he picks her up. Now she's staying at Atlas's house. She's like, oh my God, well, he has a nice house and a nice neighborhood.
Hold on. They go to the hospital. What, the hospital? There's a revelation.
Oh yeah, what happens?
Lily's pregnant.
Oh yeah.
That's a big deal. Right over my head. They go to like do like a x-ray because, you know, she's fucked up. And they're like, we can't do, you know, an x-ray for people in your condition. And she's like, what? And they're like, you're pregnant. I was like, oh my God. Which
I was like, of course she is.
Of course she is, but this is the one time I didn't mind a pregnancy trope because that is like a fucking gut punch, bro.
I hated
like
it that, even more.
That added to this book to me. Like, I was like, oh my God. I was like, bro, he beat the shit out of her and she's pregnant. Oh my God, you know? And again, I argue like,
I wasn't even like fucking like, for me, I missed out on that, like, holy shit, like, revelation, because I'm like, of course she's fucking pregnant, because every fucking bitch in all these books end up getting pregnant.
I get what you're saying, but I think, again, for me, for this book, I was like, that added to the story. Like, that added a level of gut punch dread in my fucking stomach. It really did. That, for me, I feel like this was
for life,
one of the
for
books.
Choice, we won't get into that, but...
But she wants the baby. Anyway, so yeah, she goes to stay at Atlas's house. So continue. Sorry, I just had to mention that, you know, she's fucking pregnant.
Yes,
she's pregnant. And Atlas is like, what the fuck? Poor Atlas. He's like, girl.
Yeah, so whatever. She ends up at... Okay, let's just gloss over these last things because honestly, the rest of the book was so fucking dumb. I was like, okay, here we are at the end of the story. She's at the house. She's staying with Atlas. She's not really talking to him. She doesn't really know how to feel. She's crying. She's laying in bed. She's depressed. Like, you know, whatever.
As you should be.
All the array of emotions. Yeah. I feel like not really much happened in the last section of this book. It was like, bam, he abused her. She's pregnant. And now it's like, okay. And like, I'm going
to
stick up for myself.
He goes to England.
Yeah. So he leaves, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, she's staying with Atlas. She doesn't want to go back. And then Alyssa's like, come see the baby. Come see the baby. And she's like, oh, so, you know, Alyssa knows nothing of what happened. And... she ends up going to see Alyssa and like they have this whole heart to heart and Alyssa's like, you should leave him. And I was like, good for
you,
Alyssa.
Okay, did you find that emotional at all? Because that part killed me.
Not really, no.
See, okay, so I did. But again, okay, so it's like, okay, so she tells Alyssa off, she's pregnant, tells Alyssa what happens, whatever. Because Alyssa's like, you two are being fucking sketchy, what happened?
Okay, like, but like, this is also my problem. It's like, okay, I would have maybe felt more emotional if like she talked about what the conversation was.
Yeah,
all she said was, and then I filled Alyssa in on the last 5 months.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well,
okay. So great. Again, so maybe I just feel emotion behind it because again, as I mentioned, like relating to it, right? So it's like, again, I felt Lily's pain in being like wanting that family with her best friend and her husband and like this like almost like idealistic perfect world.
Yeah.
And now being pregnant, and also again, like Alyssa was a good fucking friend in being like, as his sister, I know he loves you. I want you to take him back, like for him. But as your best friend, like if you ever go back to him, I'll kill you. And like, damn, like that fucking killed me, man. Like, because that was like a real, I feel like the duality of how Alyssa really probably felt. Like she probably wants them to be together more than anything, because she also wants her best friend to be her sister-in-law and like, you know, raise their kids together. So like that fucking hurt me. And as a side note, again, I can totally imagine you not relating to this, which I totally get.
Unrelatable.
Like, obviously Ryle comes home. All of a sudden Lily's like 5 months pregnant and he's like, what the fuck? Which that's shocking. And she's like, you know what? I don't know what we're going to do. Like, we'll talk after I have the baby. But like right now, stay the fuck away from me. Okay, fine. Now, what really killed me about this was like, okay, again, before I even say it, fully get that you do not give a fuck about this and like don't care. Probably have no emotion. But like imagining going through pregnancy like without your partner and like she's building a nursery by herself and shit, like that really upset me. Again, that's, totally that's understand. That's the reality
for many women.
Agreed, but that doesn't make it any more like less upsetting to me.
No, I think just because like not from my experience, but like from people I know, stories I've heard, things I've read, like maybe I'm just like desensitized to that and I'm like, yeah, that sucks, but like that's a reality that many people face.
I guess also because of how she wrote Ryle in the beginning of the book, like and how like involved he was, how cute they were. And like she even makes a point at one point when, I don't know, he like, touched her stomach, whatever, and she was like, I mourn the fact that we didn't have like more moments like this because like, you know, yeah, he fucked up.
I also had a hard time reconciling the fact that like, you know, she was so like, there needs to be distance between us. But then like, he's also staying at the apartment and then ends up helping her build the nursery.
I just didn't understand that. Like, there's part of her that probably loves him still.
No, I think Colleen Hoover was trying to play both sides of the fence. Like, if, and that's where I get upset because like,
But you don't think that Lily's also on both sides of the fence?
I mean, I guess, but like, that there's inconsistency. Like, at least state like something, you know?
But like, I feel like she does. Like, she's like, you know, it's also like she said too. Like, she was like, he offered to like help build the crib in the nursery, whatever. I don't fucking know. And then, you know, she makes a point and says like, I kind of don't want him to, but at the same time, like, he's also this baby's father. Like, he should be fucking building a crib. And like, I was hung up on the fact that like, she made comments saying like, I wish we had more moments. Like, he would have been so good while she was pregnant. And it's like, yes, what he did was unforgivable. But I still mourned those moments that she didn't have with him.
Okay, understandable. But then at that point, why is he sleeping over the apartment? And if he wants to come over and help, then there should be someone, like a third party there to ensure that nothing else happens. Which happened, you know, originally when like him, when her and Ryle had that conversation, like when he just got back and like Marshall was there, which was fine. I was like, good, there needs to be a third party. But like after that, like, and then like he's like, I don't know. He's like kissing her stomach, making her breakfast. And I'm like, okay. So at that point, I was like, she's going to take him back. This bitch learned nothing, you know?
Okay.
I was like, okay, like, I'm so confused. Like, okay. Fucking, I understand that's the point. Like, in situations of domestic violence, I understand that it's very confusing because you love someone who beats the shit out of you or abuses you or does whatever. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And like, you know, that's hard. Think of like in situations where you have a child and a parent that's abusive, you know, like right. Obviously you still love that they're your parent, but like what they're doing to you is not right.
Correct.
So like, I understand the ambiguity of all that, but then this is where I get confused with Colleen Hoover specifically is she's too all over the place.
Mm-hmm. But I also argue that like in these situations, as people, you probably are all over the place as well.
I mean, I get...
I don't think that's a reflection of her writing. I think that's a reflection of this fucking situation. In this case.
Honest, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just an asshole. Maybe that's what it is. Like, if you came to me... Like, if this was you, if you were Lily and you were like, hey, oh, you know, Ryan's staying over the house and he's building a nursery, I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
I'd be like, let me at least be there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you two should not be alone together.
Right.
I understand, like, when he's conscious, he's fine. But, like, obviously, if this guy's fucking deranged when he gets upset or something triggers him, like, that could happen at any point. And that's why I get annoyed, too, because they brush away his abuse as his anger issues and he, like, blacks out and doesn't know how to act. And then he gets violent.
Right.
Okay. You're excusing the behavior at that point. And how
disagree with that.
How do you not realize that that could happen at any moment? I don't disagree with you. Yeah, like you just came back from the hospital after your sister gives birth, and then all of a sudden you're fucking beating the shit out of your wife. Like, I just...
And I don't disagree with that part either. I think I appreciate, again, the three instances of the abuse. I appreciate how each one escalated because it shows, like, the just gradual progression. Again, it was streamlined for the sake of a book. But that could even, like, that could happen gradually over years, right? Like, it slowly gets worse.
But that's...
So I appreciated that, but then I agree. I think it dismisses, like, the severity of it by saying he blacks out. But I agree.
Yeah, like, I felt like...
Like, why not just have the situations escalate and just leave it as his anger issues? Yes. Don't even say it's blacking out.
Yeah, like, I felt like at that point when she had to, like, give a reason for why he was abusive...
Don't give a reason. He was just abusive.
I lost respect at that point of looking at this book as a domestic violence book.
Fair. Because sometimes there is no reason. And I guess sometimes there could be.
And
right?
That
sometimes
been
there can be.
Like, if,
but why not just make it be that his, again, I would have respected it more, agreed completely, if his, you know, situations of domestic violence and domestic abuse escalated each of the three times, and then that was just it. There's no explaining it. It just that's what it was.
There doesn't need to be an explanation. You know, sometimes that's just what it is. And at that point, it almost felt like she was trying to humanize Ryle, and that, which, okay, I can understand.
Which I can get that too, though.
But, like, I felt like that wasn't fitting for the point that she was trying to get across.
Right. But I think also the point could be as well.
But maybe I'm
even misinformed. We could be, right? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
It could also be the point, you can flip it on its head, right, and say, even if there is an excuse and even if they are humanized, it still does not make it okay for them to touch you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. They can be – maybe that was, like, the quote-unquote best outcome was that, you know, there was an excuse. He is humanized. Doesn't matter. Even with that, it doesn't – it should not be, you know? So that's almost where I'm thinking, like, she almost probably made Ryle the quote-unquote – best kind of abuser to still be like, it's still not okay.
Like the least worst kind of
correct
abuser.
To still be like, no,
which,
you know,
which I feel like in reality is just not relatable.
But at the same time, I don't know, abusers I'm sure have excuses. Oh, I blacked out, I didn't mean to, but you know, I'm sure they do. I'm sure.
Well, this can turn into a whole fucking psych lesson, but we're not.
It could, and it's gonna half and half. So Lily gives birth, they have a daughter. Which I appreciated the fact they had a daughter because that's kind of when they talk. And Lily didn't know, to be fair, what Hallie was saying about he's making her breakfast, all this stuff. Lily wasn't sure if she was going to take Ryle back. It wasn't until she looked at their daughter that she was like, I want a divorce. And because she started thinking about it, her dad to her was sometimes nice to her and was a fine father. But she said that she will always view him as a piece of shit because of how he treated her mother. So Lily's point at this point of the book is to be like, listen, you probably will be fine with our daughter. Like, a lot of abusers only abuse their partner. And so even 2 seconds of seeing you lose your – of seeing her – of her seeing – sorry. Mm-hmm. You lose your cool with me will scar her. She will always hate you. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe, like, just you being – you're probably going to be a great dad, you know? And – that's where we need to leave it. Like, she should not see you in that light as an abuser.
Yeah, which was fine. Wait, but also, I was laughing before when you were talking. It was not because of that, but I just had, like, the thought of, like, when Alyssa has her baby and she's like, we named her after Ryle because he's such a great person and a great uncle, and they fucking name the kid Riley, and then he goes home and fucking chomps it out on his wife.
Yeah, I mean, that's not great.
I was like, yo, that's crazy.
But again, okay, that is crazy, and it's, like, almost comical in a way.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
But I think that kind of almost adds to Lily's point when she says, like, my dad never beat me. My dad was a great person. Her dad was the fucking mayor. He was a great guy to every single person besides her mother. Mm-hmm. And I think that's almost maybe – I don't know. I could be giving Colleen Hoover the benefit of the doubt. That I think naming the child Riley was literally like, Alyssa only ever saw the good in him. Like, he didn't hurt Alyssa. And I think that like almost drives that point home more. It's like someone really thought so highly of him. They named their child after him. And I don't think she did that like she did that with a lot of intention. Like, she was like really felt that way. And okay. So they decide to, you know, break up, whatever. He's upset. He's crying. I thought it was an emotional scene again. Like, I did. Whatever, it is what it is. I found this book very emotional. I think that she did a great job in, like, putting all these emotions in there. And, like, again, was it convenient that Alyssa's the best friend, all this stuff, naming the daughter? But I think all those things were done with such intention and, like, nuance. Again, being, like, he is a good person to some people. Like, this is what abusers sometimes do. Like, doesn't mean that, like, she should – but, again, making him the best, quote-unquote, form of abuser and still being, like, Lily needs to get out of there. Okay. When I tell you, again, this book made me fucking sick to my stomach, like, how badly I wanted Ryle to change and to not do this. And even she writes in the back of the book, Colleen Hoover, this is a book based off her parents. And, you know, she said that her dad regretted his actions for the rest of his life. You know, that she, like, had her stepfather walk her down the aisle. Like, all these things. That, like, the casserole incident was, like, a real thing. She just wrote, like, why she wrote this book. And I just really felt like she did a good job of, like, bringing awareness. Again, in the sappy romance way, for sure. But, like, it killed me. And she even said in the back of the book, like, how badly she wanted to just, like, not write the ending how it was. Like, you know? Because it was painful to me. It was sad. It was really fucking sad. And that's truly how I felt. Like, I literally was like, forgive him. Like, have your family. Like, he wants to be a family of three. Like, take him back. You guys can do it. Like, really. And I guess for me, again, maybe it's because, like, I relate to romance books and, like, I enjoy them. But for me, what really, like, fucked me up truthfully about this book, like, I know, whatever, it's crazy that I feel these many emotions for this stupid Colleen Hoover book, whatever. But, like, really what struck me was, like, again, I'm empathizing with her and I'm literally saying, like, oh, like, if you took him back, I would totally understand. Like, I would take him back. And to that was a dark headspace for me. Mm-hmm. To really put myself in that position and be like, I might have taken that person back. I think that was the first time, again, I think that was the point of this book. That was the first time where, for me, I was put in the shoes of someone who's abused by someone they love, which I'm fortunate to say, and to be like, wow, that is a hard choice. Because as Colleen Hoover, as Lily mentioned, a lot of times people view domestic violence and they're like, why is she so stupid? Why is she staying? Mm-hmm. And I think, again, this was a way for most people to understand. It was like a fluffy read, but it really got you to empathize and understand how someone could keep taking them back. She made you fall in love with Ryle. She made the situations ambiguous. And I think the point of it was just to get you to be in that those shoes for like 5 seconds. And like that put me in like a weird headspace. Like I was like, fuck, like this is like not like a fun place to be. Mm-hmm. And that's really the impact it had on me. Like, I know we feel very differently, but I think that's why this, like, book gripped so many people, because it was the first time that some of us, again, fortunately, ever put ourselves in the shoes or indirectly experienced what that would be like, and to be like, ooh, it really isn't, quote-unquote, them being stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you love this person. It fucked me up, man. I literally was like, take him back. So, and that's crazy. Like, objectively, I know that's fucking insane.
No, which is, you know, understandable. You know, there was a couple times, like, reading the book, I was like, I would probably take him back too, for sure.
Yeah.
And, like, and that's the problem with, you know, abuse, you know? Or, like, even if you look at, like, shit like Stockholm Syndrome, like, you fall in love with your abuser. Like, yes. And it's hard to detach the two because yes. Things are very, you know, hot and cold. And then our bodies, if you're in that for a heightened period of time, you get addicted to that type of feeling, you know?
Well, because it's also that, like, intense remorse afterward and you fall in love with, like, oh, well, after they abuse me, they're so nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the mind is fucking crazy.
That's what I'm saying. And again, as a reader, and I argue, again, most readers, like, you know, when you're reading, if you enjoy reading, you're really in the book, right? Mm-hmm. And again, I thought her writing was better this time. Was there like cringy, corny things like the Ellen stuff? Sure. But I kind of just like ignored it. I thought the overall message and what she did was really well done. Like overall. And you know, maybe that's because she experienced it. Like indirectly with her dad and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I felt like this was a deeply triggering and dark topic to begin with. And mm-hmm. everyone knows how I feel about her writing. And I felt like that just added another layer of like, now I'm really fucking depressed because, you know, not only am I reading about these this terrible topic, but I have to read through it through terrible writing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. So why don't you rate the book and read a little blurb?
I gave it a 2-star.
Wow. This is probably our biggest difference.
Yeah. I gave it a 2-star. Wait. Why? But also okay, before we go into the rating, I also have one more thing to say, which I also just couldn't fucking bring everything into cohesion at this point.
Mm-hmm.
After Atlas, you know, has his buddies over or whatever, and she was mm-hmm. like, oh, so Cassie's not a real person, whatever. And
okay, Atlas said he had a girlfriend he lied about.
Yeah. So, you know, he was like, oh, I saw you were happy and XYZ. And like, whatever. He pussied out and he said he had a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Lily's mental thoughts, she clearly, like, explicitly says, like, at that point when I first saw Atlas at the restaurant, if he didn't say he had a girlfriend, I would have pursued him. I was like, well, that's fucking news to me, because you were fucking head over heels for Ryle, even though you were still in that weird kind of, like, what are we phase. But that was never mentioned at that point in time. Even right. afterwards, when she's reading the diaries, that was never said.
I almost wonder if that's just her being like, I could have saved myself from this situation, you know, like just being a dumb bitch.
Okay, which makes me, you know, which only furthers my point.
No, correct.
There's inconsistencies. And then to me, I was like, plot hole.
I find the inconsistencies. Okay, so you find the inconsistencies with the writing. I find the inconsistencies with Lily's character. I think she's a flawed character.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I think we differ on the inconsistencies. I think Lily's inconsistent.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
so maybe it's not Colleen Hoover's problem. It's her character's problem.
Which, granted, yeah. I mean, her characters are kind of shitty fucking people.
But also, you're making these people up. You're writing them.
Well, right.
What's your intention, Colleen? What's your intention here? I'm confused. Maybe I'll like you more if you can clarify.
Yeah. But in this case, I think a flawed character was needed. And so I take those inconsistencies again as like character flaws rather than like plot holes. I think plot holes in this case, if there was like a weird like setting, you know, whatever, I would take that as a plot hole. I think that in this book's circumstances, I take it as Lily's inconsistency. Just
yeah, it's confusing, you know, like she's all Ryle. Well, yeah. She's all riled up for Ryle. And then, like, at the end, it's just like,
oh, yeah, she's like, dating Atlas now.
My heart is always for Atlas. Okay, you know what? I'm done with you. Like, pick a side, bro.
Right.
Anyways, with that said, obviously, I liked Atlas a lot more than I liked Ryle.
Okay.
I felt Ryle was too chauvinistic and just too, like, too fucking, you know, like, Wall Street for me. I was like,
Okay, fair.
You know, like you're okay, like you're hot. But that's the thing. Like, I don't like the guys who are like, I'm hot and I know it. I'm like,
right.
Let me fucking knock you down a peg. Yeah. That's just my
unfortunately, I'm the opposite. But that's my okay, so your team Atlas, you gave it 2 stars. Why'd you give it 2 stars? Give me a little
I blurb. Like how, like, the first sentence of my review was like, I'm not a troll, but like, God, it sucks.
But like,
yeah, I wrote a really long review for this.
Yeah, so did I. Let's just do like our main blurbs, like, you know, gist of why we gave what we gave it.
Okay, I mean, like, I already said the one, you know, like the main characters are like, you know, fucking dumb immature people, and all of a sudden one thing happens and they're, you know, fucking Gandhi writing parables. And then I just felt like with like she's inconsistent as a writer overall. Okay. That's like my big thing with her is I feel that she's too inconsistent. I also talked about how this is a triggering topic, and then I was also triggered by the writing. And this is a big thing, but this is a me thing. It's not solely a Coho thing, but I'm tired of the whole marriage and pregnancy tropes. Like, I'm so over it, you know? Yeah. And it's so played out, you know, every fucking romance book. And sometimes you find it too in fantasy, like, and, you know, contemporary. Why is everybody written that they want to find their knight in shining armor and then, you know, go through these traumatic things with them to, you know, prove their love for them and then, you know, want to settle down and have family and have kids and la, 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 everything's happy.
I agree with
that.
You.
I hate that.
No, I agree with you. But again, I think for this book, like this book was just, this book was about that. You know what I'm saying? Like domestic violence. So I think why not amp it up and make it like, you know, the ultimate circumstance of like a child. Like, you know, I think again for this book, I agree with you. Like even spoiler alert, if you haven't listened to our ACOTAR episodes, Feyre being pregnant, unneeded. Don't need it. Just didn't need it.
Yeah, that was fucking
so I agree with you as a whole. Completely understood. I just think for this book, it added to the story for me, like I mentioned.
I don't know. I think people should want more for themselves.
Okay. So yeah. whatever. Okay, so that's why you gave it 2 stars.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the writing. I wasn't a really big fan of the fucking, you know, being depressed and then being depressed even more on top of it.
Okay.
The same old stories are played out. Like, I don't know. I need something new and refreshing. And I also, you know, might have knocked down a peg or two because I just don't like her.
Yes, fair.
Sorry, right. But that's, and, you know, at least I'm honest.
You are honest. You're always honest. Okay, so this is our starkest difference. And I will say, after rereading whatever, I'm still leaving it at 5 stars. Now, yes, I know, shocking.
That's crazy.
But again, like, okay, so I'm not even going to read my review. It's literally summarizing what I went on my rant about before, just about how I really fell in love with Ryle. I saw myself forgiving him, and this was the first instance of myself, like, really, truly putting myself in the shoes of someone like this. And I feel like it, like, honestly made me, like, more empathetic as a person. It like really like wounded me. Like I felt sick reading this, imagining myself as Lily. And I just think the emotional reaction for me, I was like, and every time I've read it, it's like the same thing. And so I just like, for me, like just what this book did for me, I was like, oh fuck, you know, like it could be like a 4.5 star because there was some corny bullshit, you know, like the Ellen stuff, whatever. But really, if I'm just going off emotional reaction, I was like fucking floored, and I was team Ryle, and I hate that I'm team Ryle. You know what I'm saying? Like for me to still be such team Ryle and hate him and myself, like it was weird. Like, and Lily feels the same way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I felt no emotional connection to Atlas. Didn't give a fuck about this man.
That's crazy. I felt more of an emotional connection to Atlas than I did to Ryle.
None. Book 2 is all about Atlas. Oh my God. And like them.
My heart. There's another book.
There's a sequel, yeah.
Oh, it starts with us, right? Oh, and the ending, corny as fuck. Okay, the last sentence, it ends with us. All right, fuck off you. Like, you're corny. Yes. Anyway.
I get the whole ending the cycle thing. Yes, corny for sure.
Okay, but like, that's what I'm saying. It's like this whole gallivanting, like, huzzah, like, this ends with us. My years of generational fucking trauma and abuse, it ends with me. Okay, fucking great. Yeah. I felt like that could have been, the ending could have been done way better, yes. But that's besides the point. Anyways, what I was going to say is I literally, like, truly the only physical, like, fucking anxietal, emotional reaction I would get was, like, the journal entries that were with her and Atlas. Because I was just waiting. I was like, oh, my God. Like, when is the dad going to find out? Like, what is going to happen?
Yeah, see, I was like, they're teenagers. Fuck them.
I felt so bad. Like, that teenage angst and, like, that feeling of being alone. And, like, you know, you have this kid and, like, you know.
Like, but, like, time and a place. I also was like, Lily, grow the fuck up, you know? Like, drop it, bitch.
When they were in high school?
No, like, now that she's fucked. You know, like,
No. That's different.
Like,
I'm talking about, like, back then.
No, correct. I agree. But I was reading journal entries, like, very cognizant that she was reading them as, like, a 25-year-old. And I was like, girl, get over it.
Oh, no. I was, like, in it. Like,
in the high school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I was feeling the feels for sure. You know, like, when he would, like, the baking the cookies thing. Like,
yeah, great.
I was like, oh, like, this poor kid. Like, talk.
No, yeah.
And that's, like, the type of angst that I eat up.
Correct.
But you know that.
Okay, so. Fine. So now I want to talk about two things to end this episode. It's a little bit different just based on what we're going to talk about. So, you know, we talk about the books mostly. We want to talk about the movie slightly and also this drama involving Colleen Hoover herself. So let's talk about the movie first. So I'm going to be honest, we both haven't watched it. Now, I'm going to tell you why I haven't watched it, because I have a very distinct reason. When I found out it was going to be a movie, I was, again, as you know how I felt about the book, ecstatic, hyped, ready to go see this movie. I was like, cannot wait. Right off the bat when they cast Blake Lively, big dub for me. I thought she was too old. I thought that she wasn't Lily. Like, didn't imagine Lily, like Blake Lively, what so fucking ever. Then pictures started coming out, weird vibes, weird wardrobe. Can't judge it off that, but I was. Yeah. And also, like, now the clips that I've seen of the movie, now that it's out, I feel like Blake was the wrong fucking choice. She literally is acting like Serena Vanderwood's in. Not the vibe that Lily gave off whatsoever. I mean, not in the fucking slightest. I hated it from the beginning. So I probably still will watch it because I'm curious, but I just... the vibe that I felt reading this book, I'm ashamed of the movie they created. Ashamed. I really am. Now, number two, going off
that
point.
Shame me upon you. Shame.
Yeah, fucking ashamed. Now, going off that point, Blake fucking Lively, who I will preface and say, I have always liked her and Ryan Reynolds. I, you know, they're one of the celebrity couples. I was like, oh, cutesy. I'll, like, you know, stay tuned and fun outfits. And, you know, they're great. They're funny. They're witty. Love them. The way that Blake Lively has been promoting this movie makes me fucking sick. It makes me sick. She thinks that she's on a fucking, like, the Barbie promotion fucking tour. I mean, she's wearing all florals and she's like, I'm Lily Bloom. It's about domestic violence. I mean, and I also saw people. So some people just went and saw the movie. Some people watched the movie first. Whatever, fine. You do you. People went to this movie thinking, because of how it was advertised, that this was the summer's newest, hottest fucking rom-com, and then were shocked when Ryle beat the shit out of her. I mean, how dare you take a book that was supposed to be about this, and I could say, okay, it was a fluffy romance, but it really brought awareness, you know, for the people who maybe don't think super deeply. It really resonated with all people. She made it accessible to all. But the way that you fucking promoted it makes me sick. You people are fucking scumbags. And the fact that Colleen Hoover allowed this to happen makes me even fucking sicker. Thank you.
That was crazy.
I'm sorry.
That was really intense. I personally... I personally don't give a fuck. When I heard they made this into the movie, I was like, don't give a shit. When I found out Blake Lively was cast in it, I was like, don't really care. Not that I don't like Blake Lively. I think she was great in fucking Gossip Girl, but, like, she could stay there. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like everybody has their moment, and that was hers. And that's where she will stay in my mind. Okay, also, her and Ryan Reynolds are so fucking random, Jimmy. Who fucking cares?
No, like, but I feel like before this, because people, like, they were like a it Hollywood couple, like, they were funny, they were cute, they were relatable, like, they would banter, whatever. And after this, people are really, like, hating them. Like, they're like, fuck you guys. Like, people are upset, which I agree. I mean, what
people are upset.
Yes, but I agree. Like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Okay, I mean,
they're treating this like the fucking Barbie promotion tour. I mean, it's crazy.
I personally have not looked at any of the teasers, at any of the trailers, at any of the fucking promos, you know, the red carpets. I haven't seen any of this just because I don't care to look at it.
Right, correct, you know? Correct.
So, but I did know that there was a lot of beef going on with Blake Lively because of how she was promoting the movie, but, like, I was like, I don't care at all.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, I'm not even gonna fucking, I don't even care to look it up.
Right.
If that is truly what she's doing, shame on her.
Shame on her.
And Colleen Hoover, too. I think that just goes to show that she's a fucking sellout.
Well, and you were the one who told me about the Colleen Hoover, the other thing.
Okay, yeah.
Which aids to this point that, yeah, she is a fucking sellout, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah, so if those of you who don't know, there's allegations against Colleen Hoover's son for sexually abusing a girl in high school. And then when it was brought up to her, she made no comment. Now, to me, you know, as a reader and, you know, someone in, you know, the as a citizen in America.
Wow, fuck.
The fact that, you know, you have a past with abuse, not you personally, but like you grew up in a household that was abusive and you were so moved by the abuse that you were inspired to write a story based on the abuse that you witnessed and experienced. And to have the type of status and standing that you do, for allegations to come out against your son and for you to make no comment is atrocious. Now, is he innocent? Is he guilty? I don't know. That's not my, I'm not here to, you know, play judge and jury. But I feel like at that point, you should have at least made a comment about it. You should have said something, you know?
And if it was true, right?
Then you're fucked.
Well, you're fucked, but you also could not save yourself, but you can be like, yeah, I do not condone the actions. We got him therapy. You know, like you could still just do what be an advocate.
Person, yes, do what everybody else in Hollywood does. They fuck up and then they go to rehab or whatever and they make a public announcement and then it's brushed under the rug in 3 months.
Right. Which and also I argue, I mean, I'm not a parent. I have no idea. I also argue if you're such an advocate for these things and you, you know, are so wounded by your childhood and whatever, you should have been teaching your children what is right and wrong.
Exactly.
And therefore, I would argue your children would not do that.
Period.
So, I mean, I'm also very skeptical. Granted, sometimes parenting doesn't work. Your kids are pieces of shit. You know, it happens. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not most of the times. Yeah. And I just, again, I probably will watch the movie because I'm curious. I just wasn't spending money to go do it because I was sickened. I didn't want to give – if I could watch it for free on my TV just to, like, you know, critique it myself, sure. I honestly was kind of like going like a page from Hallie's book. I'm not giving Colleen Hoover my fucking money and Blake Lively when you two are acting like this is the fucking goddamn Barbie movie. I mean, again, I thought that this was a great way to take a fluffy romance, the typical cliche plot points of romances, put a twist and bring awareness to a lot of the general public and get us to relate and understand domestic violence in like a very basic form. And to empathize.
Yeah.
And if that's what you did and continue to do in the movie, I would have been like, respect. But you two did not. You two, fucking Colleen Hoover and Blake Lively, like sat there being dumbass bimbos. And that makes me fucking ill. And I argue that she put Blake Lively as the main lead just because, oh, it's Blake Lively. It shouldn't have been about that. It should have been about who was the best actor, actress, whatever. Apparently that guy, Justin Baldoni, whatever the fuck his name is, apparently he's great. He's been like saying like, here's the hotline numbers. Here's this movie's about this. Oh, he's the director.
Yeah, they're both very polarizing in how they've been promoting
the movie. Which, again,
apparently.
I mean, again, I don't know the truth. We don't know these fucking people. I have no idea. But you should be, again, ashamed of your fucking self as a woman. This man is bringing more awareness than you are? Are you fucking ill? How dare you?
How dare you? You are disgusting.
And
disgusting human being.
And
you are the worst type of human.
Maybe I'm more mad about it because it's like I really in my heart of hearts felt like, again, I took this book and was like, fluffy romance, bringing awareness, all this stuff, and like kind of explained it and it like all made sense. And I was like, this whole book was purposeful. She wrote it this way for a reason.
Jamie's but I feel an like ally.
Right. But I feel like honestly, the way they're promoting the fucking movie, it lends more to your opinion that she's just a dumbass bitch and just happened to write this book. Like, which pisses me off.
That's all inconsistent.
Ugh.
All inconsistent.
God, I just fucking, people are just fucked, man. The people who like, what's it called? They're not bankrolling, whatever. What'd you say? The money? They want money?
Who? Like wants money? I want money, but.
Like when like people like authors, like they do shit just to get money. What's it called?
The sellout?
Yeah, like, I'm so fucking heated.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, like, how fucking SJM's a sellout, Colleen Hoover's a sellout. Like, can there be nothing good in this world? I'm fucking frustrated.
I mean...
But anyways,
is the root of all evil.
Yeah, but I really did like this book. When I thought it was done with intention, the movie kind of ruined it for me. But I really was like,
I heard the movie sucked too.
Yes, yes, same.
It wasn't even good.
Yeah, I'm fucking
upset.
Which,
I mean,
shocker, you know. I also, hot take,
shitty movie.
Justin Baldoni, great director, apparently did, you know, the movie justice. He's the only one doing it justice. But personally, your girl imagined Theo James as Ryle. Whew, thank you.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Also, I feel like I was robbed of, like, a true representation of who the characters were because I knew, like, I saw who was casted.
Yeah. Like, I didn't.
So I was also having trouble imagining them myself.
I'll send you fan casts.
Because then it was just, like, the fucking, you know. Yeah. This is who's casted.
Right. I'll send you my fan casts. Like, there was, like, Pinterest boards and shit like that, and I enjoyed them. It was people like that. No one – well, besides Theo James, it was, like, you know, just people that looked like the characters, and I was like, yeah, I appreciate that. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I just had to rant.
Yeah, and the whole Blake Lively thing, like, okay, you're, like, in your 40s, bro, and you're casted for a 20 or 24-year-old. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
Like, I would have been much happier if they fucking slotted Florence Pugh and dyed her hair red.
I don't want any of that. Honestly, like, I'm a big advocate.
Yeah, but she's younger. Like, that's, like, isn't... Maybe she's old, too. I don't know. I actually have no idea.
I don't think that she's as old as
I actually
Lively.
Have no clue.
But, okay, here's my thing that I argue. I almost, like, I'm a big advocate for even if they make, like, an ACOTAR eventually. Literally, please, actually, don't cast people I know. Like, cast brandy new fucking people and make them characters. Here, I sent you a picture. This is, like, literally how I imagine them in my head. Like, that's how they should have looked on top. And that's what we had? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Hmm.
Like, do you see? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, overall...
I thought he had blue eyes. I'm so confused. Didn't he have blue eyes in the book? Ryle?
Yes.
Okay, Theo James doesn't have blue eyes.
Well, I would argue neither does fucking Justin Baldoni, Hallie. I mean, let's at least get closer. But again, I feel bad talking shit about Justin Baldoni because apparently he's the only one doing this.
He looks like he'd make a good Cassian.
Sure. He's the only one doing this justice. So, you know. Yeah, I liked the book a lot. The movie kind of killed it for me because, again, I feel like now it's like you're proving Hallie right, and that irritates me. Yeah. Okay. Do we have anything else to fucking say? I feel like I'm, like, sweating. I'm so upset.
Yeah, you...
Sorry.
You have a very strong emotional reaction.
I do, but I do because I really like this book, and I think... It was, again, like, a unique way to do this and bring awareness. And I was, like, really respectful of it. And now I just think they're all a bunch of assholes.
I mean, I hate to say I told you so, but...
All right, bitch. All right. Well, this was this episode. I mean,
I wonder what other people think. Because I know some people who've read Colleen Hoover, and they're not, like, the biggest fans of her. Like, they just read her books because they're easy, and they also were not happy.
Well, we're going to post our review tomorrow. And so... You're going to see that Hallie gave it 2 and I gave it 5, obviously.
No, I thought that was Monday.
Well, this will be airing on Sunday.
Oh, I'm so confused.
I'm talking to them.
Cut that out.
No. So we'll be posting a review tomorrow. And so let us know what you guys thought about the book. Because I think this is very polarizing. And I'm curious if there's like a middle ground that's like not me and Hallie. Yeah.
Maybe, you know, and then sometimes like I think too, I'm like, you know... Maybe I really am just an asshole and I just don't get it. And I'm insensitive.
We'll find out tomorrow.
I might be. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Let's see. Let us know tomorrow if you think Hallie's an asshole. That's it. So next week, we're going to be back actually next week. in a row. We're reading Electra by Jennifer Saint as per the poll and the votes. Little Greek mythology vibes we have going on. And then we really, truly are doing every other week. We fucked up a little bit.
we're a little over the place at the moment.
That's okay, but we're going to get back on track. So yeah, so join us next week for Electra. I would assume it's not going to be this argumentative or long. We haven't given you guys an episode this long in quite a while.
Yeah, since ACOTAR.
Yeah, so.
And that was when we were going play by play in the book.
Yeah, but that was needed. But anyways, I digress. So yeah, so we'll see you guys next week for Electra. And then after that, we're getting into spooky season. So it's exciting.
Sick. Love to see it.
All right, we love you guys. Yeah, let us know. This book is hot and popping right now. So
I hope everybody has a great night, except for Colleen Hoover. You suck.
Bye.
Bye.